Good morning. Last week, Stephen preached on the beautiful Christ hymn in Philippians 2, which declares that our attitude should be the same as Christ, who was God, set all the glory of God aside, becoming a human being, even submitting to crucifixion on a Roman cross. But then God raised him up, exalting his name above every name, the name to whom every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Wow, that Jesus, God, would do that for us, kneeling down in service and even death. And wow, that every knee in heaven and on earth will kneel before him in humble adoration. And we need to hear this today to somehow grasp who Jesus is and what he has done to make sense of our text today. Because our text begins with, therefore. Because Christ humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, therefore. Because Christ was exalted and given the name above all names, therefore. Therefore what? That's what we'll explore together today. But first, let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for all that you have sacrificed for us, that you did not call on the legions of angels in your power, you gave your life for us. We are stunned that you would love us so much. We praise you, our risen and exalted Lord. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, open our hearts to your word. How we are to respond, we pray in your name, above every name. Amen. So, the Apostle Paul is in prison, unable to move around freely. And when there's a leadership vacuum, others will try to fill the void. Paul wrote in the first chapter of Philippians that some people were preaching out of good and pure motives, but others were preaching out of envy, rivalry, and selfish ambition. They were even trying to stir up trouble for Paul. They were trying to usurp him and harm him. Now, if you were Paul, how would you feel? Hurt? Angry? Vengeful? But Paul's response was to write, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Really? Rejoice? Paul's response is unexpected. It's countercultural. Most people would say, use your power to shut those folks down, Paul. But Paul was not worried about losing his influence or his standing. He doesn't care that their actions are hurting him. He only cares that Christ is exalted, that the gospel is preached. And because of this, he rejoices. Now, the Philippians, to whom Paul is writing, are at a bit of a loss without Paul there. They relied, maybe a bit too heavily, on his presence, and now he's far away in prison. They've become fearful of those who are opposing and persecuting them, and they've become a bit grumpy and petty and let division take root in the church. That's why Paul had to write earlier in the chapter, do nothing out of selfish ambition and vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. He wouldn't have to write that unless selfishness and arrogance and glory hunger were an issue. And then he follows it with the great hymn about Christ, leaving the glory of his Father's presence and dying for us. And then Paul writes, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Therefore, my dear friends, church that I planted and nurtured and love, keep doing what you're doing, whether I can be with you or not. Keep pressing in, following our Master in heaven. And this is what obedience looks like. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We tend to read this thinking we need to somehow measure up. If we work hard enough, if we're good enough, we will be accepted by God. But that's ludicrous. That would completely negate Christ's death on the cross that Paul just proclaimed. By his sacrifice for us, we are fully accepted by God, welcomed into his presence, filled by his Spirit. We are saved completely and utterly. Can I hear an amen? I think I heard it. So, what do we have to work out? Because Christ gave his life for you, because his name is above every name, because you are filled with his Spirit, continue to work out or work into the reality of all that God has done for you and continues to do in you. Live out the truth of who you are. In John 5, there's a story of a man who'd been an invalid for 38 years. He would hang out by a pool in Jerusalem with a large number of disabled people. And they thought that these waters had healing properties. And when it stirred, if they could just get into the water, they would be healed. So one day, Jesus came to this pool, and seeing the invalid, he came up to him and he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Well, the man replied, "No one will help me get into the pool when the water's stirred. Somebody always gets there first." And Jesus looked at him and he tells this man, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." For 38 years, this man's whole identity was about being an invalid, unable to walk, helpless. 38 years. But the scripture says, at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The man didn't heal himself. He simply responded to the work that Jesus did in him. Jesus miraculously healed his body, but the man had to work it out. He had to trust and have the courage to actually get up, pick up his mat, and walk. How often do we continue to live as invalids when God has proclaimed we are healed? We are quick to make excuses why we can't get in the pool. We aren't strong enough, capable enough, good enough. We're still lying by the pool, helpless, when we have been healed and have the power of the living God living in us. God has given all we need. He's given us himself. But we have to get up. We have to pick up our mat and walk. We have to live out what God has done and is doing in us. We have to press on with fear and trembling, not fear of punishment when we get it wrong, but a reverent fear and trembling, recognizing that we cannot do this on our own. We are completely reliant on God working in us. And we don't want to let God down. We don't want to bring shame on our Lord. It's not a fear of what he will do to us, but the concern of what we might do to him. But we have his promise in Philippians 1:6. "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." He is going to do his good work for his good purpose. But what is this work he's doing in us that we are to work out? He's growing in us the very life and character of Christ. The Christ that was described in the Christ hymn, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is the life and character he is growing in us, obedient and humble. And one way we can practically work out this attitude is in verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Well, that gets real. Complaining and arguing come from selfishness and discontent. We are not getting what we want, and we're going to let everyone around us know about it. The word that's used for complaining is an unusual one in the Bible. It's used three times in the story of Exodus, when the Israelites grumbled in the desert. The Israelites complained that they didn't have enough to eat. And when God gave them manna, they complained they wanted meat. They also complained that the water God gave them was bitter. Granted, life was not a picnic wandering in the desert, pun intended. They couldn't just pop out for takeout when the manna got old. The Israelites were complaining against Moses, but God was their real target. God was not taking care of them as they desired. He was not meeting their expectations. They wanted what they wanted, and they wanted it right now. And the Philippians were suffering from the same affliction. They were frustrated by their circumstances. They wanted their life to change, and they wanted people to change. Now, I'm sure none of us have experienced this over the past few months. A group began last week talking about how we, as people of faith, are to grieve well the losses we've experienced. We know that there's a place for lament. Many of our Psalms express deep suffering before God. But how do we dance that line and not fall into complaining? How do we not take it out on the people around us? How do we hold on to our faith and trust in God's goodness in the midst of frustrations, in the midst of suffering and loss? How do we do everything without complaining or arguing? This is where we have to get up, pick up our mat, and walk. We work out the life and the character of Christ that God is working in us. We can't do it on our own. We need God's work in us. But in Him, we can do everything without complaining or arguing, so that we may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which we shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. And as we live out this crazy countercultural humility, grace, and love, we will become blameless and pure without fault, showing ourselves to be the children of God that we are, showing our family likeness, like we saw exhibited in Paul's life, rejoicing when others usurped and caused him harm, as long as Christ was preached and exalted. And when we live like this, amidst a crooked and depraved generation, not a very politically correct way to put it, but a people who have twisted away from God's way, we are going to stand out. There will be times we're going to be downright odd. We will stand out so much, it'll be like the stars shining out in the dark night sky. Some say the word for stars is more like luminaries or light bearers. It's talking about the vessel or the lantern through which the light shines. There's an old story of a young girl who wondered what a saint might be. And her mother took her to this great cathedral to see the beautiful stained glass windows with scenes from various Bible stories. And when the young girl saw the wonder of it all, she exclaimed, "Now I know who the saints are. They are the people who let the light shine through." We are Christ's luminaries, letting His light shine through. As we get up and pick up our mat and walk, living out the truth of who we are, living out Christ's humility growing in us, not complaining or arguing even in difficult circumstances, then Christ's light shines through and we hold out the word of life and hope. Because Christ died for us, we are new people who live in a new way. Because His name is above every name, we hold out the word of life so every knee will bow in worship before Him. Amen? Amen. Now, before we pray, I want to give you a question to think about. In what way Is Jesus calling you to get up, pick up your mat, and walk? How does he want you to live more fully today, this week, and what he is doing in you? I'll give just a moment to think, and then I'll pray for us. Lord, let your light shine through us. May we be willing to pick up our mats and walk, to work out all that you long to work in us, so that your light will shine through us with life and hope to all those around. Amen.